You're listening to the Passport Moms podcast.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for episode 82 of the Passporter Moms podcast, Disney and Beyond. I'm Jennifer Marks, Passporter author and Passporter mom.
And I'm Sarah Barney, Passporter news editor and fellow Passporter mom.
The Passporter Moms podcast is a weekly podcast for all travelers with or without kids. We serve up a healthy serving of tips and advice for vacations to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, and destinations in the U.S. and abroad. So how are you doing today, Sarah?
I'm good. I'm getting excited. I'm going to California soon.
So. For D23.
I'm doing the Backstage Magic Adventure at Disney and then the D23 Expo.
So you're doing an Adventures by Disney. That's the Backstage Magic. That's the one where they go and do cool behind-the-scenes stuff like in Hollywood and at Disneyland, right?
Exactly. The first couple of nights are in Hollywood, and we'll be going backstage at Jimmy Kimmel and, like Rauman's Chinese Theater and all kinds of very cool stuff. And then the next three nights are at the Grand Californian, and there's days at Disneyland and Disney California Adventure. So, and my... The thing I am most excited about, and I will absolutely just lose my mind over, is Jim Henson Studios. We're going to.
I'm
such a massive Muppets fan.
Like, are you? I don't think I knew that.
That's huge. It's not even necessarily Muppets so much as it is like the other work that he did, like Labyrinth and Dark Crystal, and his partnerships with Disney, and definitely, of course, the Muppets. Absolutely, Muppet Christmas Carol, personal favorite. which is actually after Jim died, but still, I'm a big fan. So, anyways, yes, I'm very, very excited, and I just think Jim Henson was such an incredible genius, and I know that I will be crying. I'm just putting it out there.
That sounds really exciting. I'm jealous. I want to go. Seriously. I need to figure that out.
You can use me as your guinea pig. I'll test out the Adventures by Disney and, you know, see how it goes. And then maybe next time it'll be you. So,
yeah. You know. Do you think that you might be able to write an article and share how things went?
No, of course.
Awesome.
Of course.
Good.
Yeah. I plan on writing articles and I'm going to be tweeting what I can. So, of course, you know, a lot of the stuff that we're going to be seeing is backstage, and so it's confidential.
Right.
Won't be able to necessarily take pictures or things like that, but I will be tweeting, and if you're not following me, you can at PassporterMomSV on Twitter.
Awesome.
And I'm going to be, taking pictures when possible and video when possible and all that sort of stuff. And then if you're going to be at the D23 Expo, I will be there. I'm the agency that I work for, which is MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, is partnering with Lou Mangiello from WDW Radio, one of the other podcasts that we love. I will be at the booth all 3 days, so you can stop by and see me there. And tweeting and doing the whole thing, and I'm very excited.
I wonder what celebrities you'll bump into this year.
Well, you've heard my John Tartaglia story.
Yes.
Right? So maybe I'll see him again. I'm hoping.
See, you're so funny.
Fingers crossed. But John, you know, there are rumors that possibly Johnny Depp may be there again. I will run somebody over.
If you see him,
just be clear. Like, security should be wary of me.
I believe that completely. I've seen you when you're motivated. Yeah, you need to get out of Sarah's way.
Somebody. I'm very excited, but even, you know, I'm such a Disney geek, and you know that, you know, last time Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney, walked by our booth and smiled at me, and I was like, that's Bob Iger, you know. I'm excited by everything, the whole thing. The stormtroopers with the Mickey hats on, I'm hoping they're back this year. I'm very excited. So
very cool. I look forward to hearing all about that. And that'll be
And so, so there will be a podcast that I'm not on.
That's right. There will be. And AJ Wolf is going to be my co-host.
Yes.
It's going to be really, really interesting. Yes, from the Disney Food Blog. So she and I are going to be, I think that we're talking about like our favorite desserts or something like that. So it should be a really yummy episode.
That was
episode.
What you guys had decided on, which of course now I'm jealous. But thank you so much to AJ for me. I can't wait to hear. It'll be really interesting for me to be listening to the podcast as a listener for once, and not as a co-host.
I know it'll be interesting to hear, like, what your take on it is, you know, from that point of view.
Just don't replace me.
No, of course not. Are you kidding? couldn't possibly do that.
Camp replacement was my idea.
That's right, it was. Absolutely. You get full credit for that.
No, we're all replaceable. Don't worry, I'm not that cocky.
No,
so anyway, so that's what I'm going to be doing, and you've got a very busy month yourself. So
yep,
you know.
I'm going camping. Yes. I'm in fact, this episode we are pre-recording because I will be camping without internet access in the middle of Pennsylvania, and I'm so excited about it. So that's going to be cool, and it's actually like reenactment camping. So like okay, really now, hardcore camping.
So no, wait, can't now. You know how I feel about roughing it. I don't. Roughing it to me is a Motel 6. So reenactment camping, that sounds...
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
the series. Explain.
Right. So like, you know, medieval ages sort of thing. And it's a very big camping event. 10,000 people there. So it's a very... something I've always wanted to do. I don't have a bucket list, but if I had one, it would be on it. And so Alexander
medieval
and I are...
camping. So I'm assuming... no running water? Or...
There is running water, but... not like nearby, not like right there, right? So
electricity?
No. Yeah. Again, nearby, but not where we are. So, you know, this is like, you know, rustic. It's not really, you know, I mean, it's kind of, because there's so many people, I wouldn't call it like wilderness, certainly not wilderness camping, you know, where you're surrounded by trees and you make all your food on your little campfire. That's different.
Yeah. If you pull up in your ankle, somebody's there to help.
Right. This is more like, but we're making an attempt not to use modern things. So, you know, canvas tents and, you know, minimal use of like a battery flashlight, you know, so we'll have little lanterns and stuff like that. That's the idea.
Wow.
Yes, Alexander has been told that he can't like bring lots of Lego pieces because they're made of plastic, stuff like that. Of course, he them anyways, but you know, so he's been making little clay toys, and he's going to be making them when he's there, you know. So it's a cool thing. Yep, we're really excited about it.
I will be interested to hear all about it on the back end because I think it sounds really fascinating to because you are such a tech person.
I know.
And so this will be interesting, and so is Alexander to some degree.
He absolutely is. I mean, he's got his own little website, his own little Lego website, and you know, yeah, it makes little videos. I mean, yes, we're both. Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how it goes and what we think of it, and if we like it or we hate it.
Yeah, well, you know, Godspeed. That's all I gotta say. And a tiny little better you than me.
Well, thank you.
I don't even do the tent in the yard.
Like, well, when you're back on the podcast, we can talk about it.
I'm excited. Don't spill all the beans to AJ. You know, yeah. I mean, I'll be listening to the podcast, but I want to get the first. Yeah.
Well, cool. And today, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Nope. I was going to say. So, what have we got going on today?
Oh well, today we've got. I'm trying to think. Our topic today is special meals at Walt Disney World, and we're having a special guest on.
Maybe yeah, Heather McDonald. Heather, she's been on the podcast before.
She has.
Spas at Walt Disney World. So
that's right. So maybe we should get her on and talk about special meals.
Let's add her.
Okay. And so we have with us now Heather McDonald. Heather is a Passport and Message Board guide, also known as a moderator. She lives in New Orleans and works for a major hotel chain as a bartender. Heather visited Walt Disney World as a child, and after surviving Hurricane Katrina, thought it would be the perfect escape vacation. She loved it so much that she has been over 10 times in the last 5 years. Welcome, Heather. Welcome back, Heather. So, you actually just got back from a Disney trip, didn't you?
Yeah, a really quick trip.
Really quick.
I only spent 2 nights.
Wow. So, but, was this like a last-minute trip also?
It was. I planned it Friday, and I left on Monday.
That's so awesome. So, what did you do for 2 days at Disney?
I spent the first day at... where did I do the first day? I went to Epcot the first day.
Yeah,
it was 2 weeks ago. That's a long time. And then I spent the second day at Animal Kingdom and went to California Grill for dinner.
California Grill.
Now can we talk about the cupcake just for a second? Because I have to talk about the cupcake.
The cupcake?
Yes.
Tell us about the cupcake.
the Kusafari Bakery, which is right near the safari entrance, mm-hmm. has a number of absolutely ridiculous cupcakes. So for breakfast, which is kind of a tradition for me, I try to do a cupcake for breakfast once a trip. I ordered the Cotton Top Tamarind cupcake.
Yeah.
And it's a chocolate chip cupcake with white buttercream icing.
Oh my and
gosh. Chocolate curls on the back and a huge Cotton Top Tamarind lollipop head stuck in.
It is the cutest thing I have and I'm obsessed as
yeah, I was going to say, it, Sarah, you love the,
those
you,
monkeys.
Yeah.
I saw that picture and was like, oh, I want it. I have to have it. So
well, you know what to get next
literally the first
time.
Thing on my list on my yeah.
Wow, was it a big cupcake or just a really cool looking?
Enormous.
Enormous.
I didn't finish half of it.
Oh my gosh.
Somebody asked if I gave it away, the other half, to somebody else, and I kind of figured nobody would want a half-eaten cupcake. <Yeah. I
know. laughs> Hey, would you like my half-eaten cupcake? Here you go.
From a total stranger.
That would be amusing, though.
But I have been obsessing, ever since she posted the photo, I have been obsessing about these cupcakes ever since.
Do we have a photo of this awesome cupcake? Because I could put it with the podcast.
Do you somewhere?
Well,
you know what? I know where it is. I'll get it.
Okay, awesome. Because I want to see this cupcake. Cool. So, you went to California Grill, and we're talking about special meals. So, was it a special meal?
It was. I ended up with a table right next to the window with a perfect view of the castle.
Awesome.
So I didn't bother to get up for the fireworks.
Right.
To watch them outside, I just sort of stayed at the table. But I was by myself, which is kind of an interesting meal there. But my server, James, I think his name was great. He practically sat down at my table when he found out that I work in the restaurant industry. Uh-huh. And I think I was his last table of the night, so he spent quite a bit of time chit-chatting with me. And the food was all really good.
Awesome.
And it usually is. I've had a couple of misses there with service, but this one completely turned it around.
That's excellent. And so now I understand that, did you also do the wine dinner at Flying Fish Cafe?
We did that, I can't remember now if it was April or June. I think it was June.
That's pretty recent, though.
How you know when you have too many photos.
I know, my goodness. Yeah. April or June. Goodness.
But
it's
yeah.
A rough life.
So tell us about the wine dinner at Flying Fish Cafe.
They seat you, and I think there are only maybe 6 or 8 seats at the counter that looks into the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
So the dinner is offered every night with 2 different seatings. I think it's 6 p.m. and 8:15. And Brandon and I did the 8:15 dinner. We sat down, and they took our picture with the chef. Which was really cool because later they gave us copies of the menu with our picture printed inside.
Oh, wow. That's a nice touch.
And then it is it's a 5-course dinner, which includes the wine pairing. It is only available for guests 21 and up, so children are not invited. And before the dinner included tax and tip, and I want to say before tax and tip, it was $149 each. So it is not an inexpensive experience.
But, yeah.
But the food was absolutely wonderful. The first course was a chilled Delta asparagus soup.
Ooh, that sounds really good.
With a Maine lobster garnish. Now, I don't know when lobster became a garnish, but apparently at Flying Fish it is. And then the second course was a blue crab scallop mousse ravioli.
Oh.
With a butter poached crab leg.
Oh, all right.
Out of this world good. I think that might have been the best course. And next we had striped bass that actually came from the land pavilion. Which I think is really cool that they're using.
It is really cool.
Yeah. Stuff besides herbs, because I know that that's mostly what comes out of the land pavilion is herbs and lettuces. But apparently they're using the fish farming as well.
Yeah, that is really cool. A little bit of Disney inside you. That's kind of gross now. Sorry.
Nemo! No, just kidding.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear. Sorry. No, I think it is awesome that they're doing the none of the fish tanks are right there, right? And I know that they have served fish from there before at the various restaurants. So it's really cool that it's at that restaurant.
And then we got a little bit of sorbet that was, I believe, mint gin sorbet.
Mint gin, huh?
As
appetite cleanser. Yeah, yeah. Palate cleanser.
And then the main course was lamb loin.
Lamb loin.
With sausage and heirloom beets. And I love beets, so the beets were the best part of the plate for me. I like my lamb a little bit less cooked than most people, so it was a little bit over for me.
Uh-huh.
But probably not for anybody else. And then I was kind of disappointed because I couldn't have dessert, the dessert on the menu, which was three little ice cream cones filled with different kinds of gelato, and apparently the ice cream cones have nuts in them.
Oh,
and really?
I'm allergic to nuts.
That's too bad.
I ended up with a bowl of raspberry and mango sorbet that they made in house with fresh berries.
Uh-huh.
And apparently I got the better end of the deal because dessert was the least successful part.
Really?
Dinner,
well, that's too
according
bad.
To Brandon. dessert did come with an ice wine, which was a tasty treat because I love ice wine.
Yeah, that's great. And how much did you say dinner was again?
$149
per person.
Yes, and you do pay in advance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's an upfront cost.
But that includes. Does that include any of the wines or like the ice wine?
It includes everything.
Everything. Okay.
A glass of wine with every course. So it was five glasses of wine, and five courses.
Wow. So really, if you think about it, you know, for that type of meal.
Yeah,
it's about right.
Yeah, it is about right. And how long did the meal last?
I want to say we were there maybe 2.5 hours.
Did you have any interaction with chefs at all?
The chef came out with every course.
Okay.
And explained individually to each, there were two other couples with us, to each group what exactly they were eating, and the wine that went with it. So it was very interactive.
Okay.
And we could see them cooking right in front of us, too.
Right. Well, that's really cool. So it's like a chef wine dinner, basically.
That's exactly
what
it is.
Yeah. That's very cool. And how far in advance did you book this? I'm just kind of...
Not super far in advance. I want to say maybe a month before.
Okay. Although once word gets out...
I don't think it fills up.
You don't think so?
As quickly.
Okay.
Because it is expensive and upfront,
right.
And only for grown-ups. So if you're going to do it and you have the kids with you, you have to factor in child care or babysitter. Or...
Mm-hmm. Yep. That sounds like a lot of fun, though. I'm going to have to find some way to try that one. I'll have to think about that.
And now, Heather, do you know where is the wine dinner only offered at Flying Fish Cafe, or is it offered at other restaurants as well?
There are a couple of other specialty dinners. Cuisina just started doing a chef's table, which five courses, with the option to pair wines in the new coronation room, which I haven't seen yet, but I'm going to have to work this into an upcoming trip. It's five courses for $69.23, and the optional wine pairing is $35.
Okay.
And there are a couple of other interesting, relatively new special dining events. We did a wine tasting that's offered at Chico once a week on Wednesdays at 3:00. It was a super bargain. We tasted three different wines, and we got full glasses with refills if we wanted them.
Hmm.
And they brought out both a cheese board for everybody and... like a dessert and fruit plate. and it was only $25.
Oh, wow. That's a great deal.
It sure is.
I think that table seats about 12, so obviously pretty limited, and it's only once a week. Right. But if you can make that reservation, and I think you call the concierge or reservations at GECO. I remember I left a message on an answering machine and got a call back saying they had booked it for me. And that was a pay after.
Is that only for Animal Kingdom Lodge guests or anybody who happens to know about it? Very, that's a cool, that's a good tip. I like that. Of course, 3 o'clock's not the most convenient time because a lot of people are doing park stuff, but if you're staying at the hotel or maybe having dinner there or something, you know, that would work out.
We took a break in the middle of the day.
Yeah, and then well, we that's another.
Took a nap afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, after all that wine sampling, I bet.
Really? I'll bet.
Something else they just added at Animal Kingdom Lodge is lunch with an animal specialist. It's at Sanaa on Wednesdays. They take a maximum of 12 people, and I guess it's similar to the Dine with an Imagineer at the Hollywood Brown Derby. The cost is $49, and it includes, I want to say, 4 courses at Sanaa. And I thought that was a pretty neat new addition.
Yeah, hello. Definitely.
Hi. So, yeah. We're still here. Now, I understand, actually, that the one with the lunch with an animal specialist includes not only the lunch, but it also includes an interaction with one of the turtles. Is that right?
I think I read that in a review on All Ears.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then there's still the Dine with the Imagineer, which I think is only offered for lunch now at the Hollywood Brown Derby.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then there are a couple of other special dining rooms that you can book or make reservations at. Citrico's has the Chef's Domain. Mm-hmm. We did that meal a couple of years ago with a group of 6 or 7. And that was really neat. The chef came out and spent a whole lot of time with us, as well as the restaurant manager. And to do that, you need to email the restaurant, and they'll send you some menus. And you can kind of pick and choose what you want to do for your dinner, as many or as few courses as you'd like. But there is a $600 minimum expenditure to book the room. Which sounds like a lot, but when you start adding bottles of wine, it's...
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, bet. Yeah.
I am sure.
The nice thing was that they applied the Tables in Wonderland discount.
Good.
To our just over $600 expenditure, which brought it under the $600 minimum, and they didn't have a problem with it.
Oh, well, that's good.
Victoria and Albert's recently, I want to say in the last year, opened the Queen Victoria room.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Which is, I think there are 6 tables in the room. Mm-hmm. And they do the same menu as at the chef's table in the kitchen. So it's 10 courses, plus a wine pairing if you choose to do that. But the cost is the same as the chef's table, so it's a little bit pricey. If you do the 10 courses and the wine, it's $295. Plus tax and tip. Mm-hmm. However, it's also the best meal I've ever eaten.
Really? Ever?
Yes. Whoa. Hands down. The service is so good. About half the courses are cooked at your table, which is pretty neat.
So, and how do they do that? Do they roll a little cart with a hot plate sort of thing, and they cook it right there for you?
Yeah, every course that's done at the table has a little roll cart that comes out. For the salad course, they toast the croutons in your choice of olive oils.
Ooh. That's good.
Before adding to your salad. But salmon course, they cook on a piece of Himalayan rock salt that's heated up, I guess, over a hot plate. And then... the lamb course we had was cold smoked, using, I don't remember what the technique is, but that was a really neat thing, and I wish I had taken more pictures of dinner there, because now I'm going to have to do it again.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. I mean, when you're having a great time, it's so easy to forget about taking pictures, so, you know, you had a great time. But yeah, I guess if you have to do it again.
We rolled out of that one and definitely called a cab because neither one of us could stand up straight.
Wow.
And I think we slept till like 10 the next day.
I'll bet you did.
4 hours later than we usually do.
So are there any other special meals that we haven't covered? Like, you know,
The only other things I can think of are the Wayanama Safari at Animal Kingdom Lodge that includes dinner at Chico. It's a tour, I guess it's about an hour, hour and a half tour through the savannas at the lodge, and then dinner at Chico.
That's cool. I don't think I'd heard of that one before. What did you say it was called?
The Wayanama Safari.
Wayanama Safari?
Which is the Sunset Safari.
Oh, okay.
Is that available to anyone, though, or is that just for grand gatherings and concierge level?
That one's available to, I think, anybody staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Okay.
It's the breakfast, the Sunrise Safari.
That one, right.
Only
gotcha.
For concierge.
Yeah, yep.
Which I've done also, and I really enjoyed that. That was a backstage, sort of a backstage tour through the animal areas, and then an early morning ride on the Kilimanjaro Safaris with buffet breakfast at Pete Safari. And I thought that was a pretty affordable option at $65 a person, mm-hmm. as opposed to the almost $200 for the evening version.
Wow. Heather, you really get around. I can't believe all these cool things you've done. That's so cool.
Well, I don't have kids.
Yeah, it does change things a bit.
Lots of expendable income. And we can't afford to do it all every trip.
Well,
you know,
we
pick sort of one special thing to try and do every time we go. And when I go by myself, I do a lot less. But when it's the two of us and we try to have one evening where we're going to splurge.
Yeah. I think that's a great thing to do for anybody, whether it's, you know, adults traveling alone. And these are all, you know, fabulous things to do for frequent visitors like yourself who want something a little different, a little special.
Right. Yeah, we've seen the fireworks. We hate Fantasmic. So.
I think this was actually a question that we had from a listener recently. It sounds familiar. Like, what are some special things or special meals that I could plan? Mm-hmm. So this is like, this is a great answer to that question.
We've had good meals at almost all of the signature restaurants. Except Le Cellier.
Except Le Cellier.
Yeah, Brandon and I were with Cheryl and Mark in April.
Everyone knows who Cheryl is, yes.
Cheryl Pendry.
Cheryl Pendry. Yep. Sorry, go on. Yes.
And they had just turned over to Signature Dining for dinner. We were not impressed.
That's right. Right when they changed over.
I hope they get their act together, because as far as I can tell, you still can't get a reservation there.
It is still very difficult, even in spite of it becoming Signature Dining at dinner. It is still very difficult to get a reservation there.
And it was fairly expensive. I want to say that I spent as much at Le Cellier as I did at Yachtsman, and I had 4 courses at Yachtsman.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's pretty pricey.
4 absolutely amazing courses.
Oh,
highly recommended.
Yeah, between the two, Yachtsman is definitely the unsung hero of the steakhouses.
Oh, hands down. And I work in a steakhouse.
So you should know. All right, well, I would love to move on to our community corner. We have a podcast winner this week. Our winner this week is Stan Les... I'm going to spell this one. STANLESL 73. So something like Stan Leslie, maybe 73. And so if you're listening, please send an email to podcast@passporter.com. We have no celebrations to, you know, something we actually, maybe we do, and we're just because we're recording this early. So I'll have to, well, if we do, I'll bump. What will I do actually? I'm just talking to myself now. I need to edit this out. Blah, 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 blah.
It's got a whole thing going on over there.
I will just skip over the whole celebration thing when I edit this. Okay. And we have a few questions from readers. The first one is from Pablo One, who writes, there will be 8 of us going next May 2012, staying at the Polynesian. My sister and niece's family, well, they have no clue. Last time they went was over 15 years ago. I have given each family a Disney DVD and a passporter and told them to read it. We just booked our air and dining reservations opened for us in November. So I suggested they all come over next weekend to go over and plan meals and discuss different things that everyone may want to do, which is a great idea. There will be an 11-month-old and a 2.5-year-old. Question, what do you do for your planning sessions? We are going to a Disney party. I have printed out menus, an estimated expense sheet for tips, limos, etc. Thanks, Kat. So, the question is, how do you do your Disney planning sessions? Is that, am I understanding that question right?
Yeah, okay. As far as I can tell.
Mine have always been really casual, because they're family things, and we just get together, like, for a meal or whatever, and we start talking about. You know, often I'll ask people to do some homework in advance, have them pick their favorites, or what they really want to do, like one thing they really don't want to miss, and then we discuss it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think getting a must-do from each person is key. So then everybody feels like they have input and
right.
You know, are getting to do something they want to do. Now, I don't mean a list of 5 must-dos, because if you have, you know, that many people going. And
can you be there for hours and then?
Only so many hours in a day.
That's right. Yeah.
The most important tip, though, is just discuss what your level of expectations are. Because if grandma thinks that the family is going to be spending every waking moment together as a pack, and someone else is thinking that maybe you'll get together once a day for dinner, somebody's going to be disappointed. So it's important to talk about what sort of the expectations are for the group trip.
Yeah, and yeah, don't be afraid to address that directly. Like, are we really going to tour the parks all together, or do we want to split up, right?
Yeah.
That might be really hard with 2 little kids.
Exactly.
It's going to be hard with 2 little kids I have lots of experience with that. It's so hard to, like, herd a lot of people together. Honestly, it is. And then we got little kids who are going to be slower and have more needs. You're going to end up having the people who aren't with the kids get frustrated. Honestly, this can happen. Or want to go off and do stuff, right? And want to meet back. And then all of a sudden, when you wanted to be together, you're separated and trying to figure out how to get back together at the right time. So. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's great to have sort of one sort of central group itinerary. Mm-hmm. Like, here's where most of us plan on being.
Right.
You're welcome to join. You don't have to join.
Yep.
But maybe once a day we'll have a meal together, whether it's breakfast, whether it's dinner, whether it's lunch, we can all get together.
Yep.
You know, and then it's less pressure to sort of, you know, be on top of each other at all times.
Absolutely. Right. Yep.
That all sounds like really good advice. I have no expertise here at all. We don't have planning sessions at my house.
That's not true. You have been on a lot of group trips when you're trying to deal with multiple advanced dining reservations. And I know, because I've been on them with you. So even though you're not doing planning dinners necessarily, I know you've traveled with groups before. So.
Oh, but it's all done by email.
Yeah. Well, but sometimes
you know something,
how it's done.
Absolutely, yeah. That could be your way of doing a planning session, or doing it on the phone. You don't have to do it in person. There's lots of different ways of doing it.
Your dinner night.
The other thing I've also done, which is a really great resource for Passporter, is we've used the chat room.
Mm-hmm. It's a great idea. So I'll get in there and talk about stuff. Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Chances are good, as long as it's not 9:00 Eastern time on a Sunday night. That
well, you can always make a different room and go in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can make rooms.
That's a great tip, Heather.
Yeah. All right, our next question is from Disney Princess 918, who writes, if you're on a Disney dining plan and eating a counter service or table service meal and get so full you can't finish it or your dessert, will they wrap it up for you in a take-home container so you can eat it as a midnight snack back at the hotel? Well, I've done that, like, a lot of times. So... unless there's something that I don't know about, I would say the answer is yes. Have you ever tried that?
Will.
Yeah. In fact, I sometimes do it on purpose, because desserts can make good breakfasts. So I'll just
pizzas make good breakfast too.
Well, I mean, I kind of like, because often it is way too much food. I know. So being able to take something, especially like the end of the day, you're going back, you know, because you don't really want to carry that box around with you all day if you can help it. But if you're going back and to take like the dessert back and some kind of good pastry or cake or something, and then you could have it for breakfast. Yeah. So yes, it's your food. Yeah, you can take it. And our last question is from Lissy Bry, who writes, are either of the Rainforest Cafes on the Disney dining plan?
That's another easy one. No. Mm-hmm. No. Rainforest Cafes are owned by, I believe it's the Landry, which also operates T-Rex in downtown Disney. Yep. They are not Disney-owned and operated resorts and restaurants, so they are not on the Disney dining plan.
Yep.
Nope. But there are some companies that operate restaurants other than Disney that are on the Disney dining plan, right?
Well,
Some that are Disney owned, not Disney owned, but are Disney operated.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Because technically, I was thinking some of the best in the World Showcase are owned by other, you know.
Right.
Right. Like Suto Italia and Via Napoli.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that. Right.
Yes, but as far as I know, Rainforest Cafe, T Rex, those are two specifically that are.
Yep, and they never have been either.
Complete,
so.
You know, entities unto themselves.
Yep. But you can get a couple of discounts there. They give an annual pass discount.
Yep.
Rainforest Cafe, I think it's 10% on entrees.
Ooh, good tip.
That is a good tip.
Good tip.
And of course, there's the, it's called the Safari Club that you can sign up online. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and. You can get some discounts, and sometimes you can get into a little bit earlier. Not earlier, but like more of a, I forget what it's called.
They have like a priority seating, I think.
Like something like that. Like you can see a little quicker because the line can be pretty long, especially on like weekend nights. You'd be waiting for a while
it's
there.
The Safari Club isn't free. I think you have to pay to join it.
You do, but you get, as I recall, yes, it is like a small fee, but you get like a coupon back or something. So you can, as long as you're doing it, you can like apply that pretty quickly.
I think it's like it used to be, don't quote me on this, it used to be like $10 to join and they immediately gave you a $10 gift certificate. Or
something like that, right? Okay. So if you're going to use it, you know, it's at rainforestcafe.com, so you can look it up and find out. That's all of our questions. If anyone wants to hear their question on our podcast, send an email to podcast@passporter.com or post on our podcast forum in our message boards at passporterboards.com. Heather, thank you for joining us. I am looking forward to seeing your picture of your cupcake.
I just emailed it to you.
Oh, awesome. So we get to put it up there. Yay. Thank you. You know, and I would love to hear more about these cool things you're doing. So you should write some more articles for the newsletter, or put some reviews online and stuff. Okay?
Yes,
hint,
ma'am.
Hint. Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
I didn't even have to do it. She did it for me. With that.
Is great. It okay if I copy them out of my trip report?
Yep, absolutely. Doesn't matter.
Because they're really already written.
That's totally fine. Yep. That's repurposing, and it's good. Okay, cool.
Let's give it a guilt trip. I love it.
All right, discount code for anyone who's listening. By the time that you're hearing this, the cruise guides will, all the pre-orders will have been out, and maybe not all delivered, but in stock totally. So let's see. For this week's code, let's make it really simple, special. So you just type special, it's all lowercase, during checkout at passporterstore.com to get a 25% off discount. And that's our show, folks. Thank you for listening. Next week, Sarah will be on her Adventures by Disney trip. So we will have AJ Wolf as the co-host, which is going to be fun. We'll talk about desserts. So you have to listen because, you know, you can't resist dessert. You can listen to more podcasts at passporter.com/podcast. Talk to you next week.